Now we're at part three of our considerations. It's the second reading. It's from the first letter of Timothy. And it's 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 6. And it's about praying for everybody. It's quite a text. Parakaloun proton panton. I exhort then, first of all, isn't that first of all, that's the way they translate it. First of all, then, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. But now, this is Timothy, probably written somewhere in the 50s. Very likely Nero was the emperor. He's burning people, making living torches out of them, covering them with pitch and tying them to a post out in the Colosseum and lighting it and letting them burn up. Or he's sending them out to have animals eat them and other disgusting things he does himself. And Paul is saying, first of all, let there be prayers, supplications, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings and all in authority. So we have to pray for our leaders, sometimes, that they don't get damned. Because that's an awful fate. A few years of telling people what to do, and then eternity separated from God and in agony, it's not worth it. And so pray for them, you see? We pray that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity, because if they're doing their job, we're not going to be disturbed, anxious, frightened, and so forth. What about the economy? What about this? What about that? You know, because they will keep everything in peace, and we can worship God, and we can pray for them that somehow they get saved and that they come to know the Lord, you see? And Paul says, this is good and pleasing to our Savior that we do this. Isn't that beautiful? Tuto kalon, kaya podekton. This is good and pleasing, acceptable to God, our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. How is that going to happen if we don't go out and preach? How is that going to happen? Now, you don't have to run around rattling your rosary beads and telling everybody they're going to hell if they don't. No. But you have to be loving, and you have to make sense, you know. And there's 100 chances a day, standing in line in the grocery store, sitting next to somebody on the plane, and you try them out. You just don't say, are you saved? You know, you start with, nice day, isn't it? Or, I'm on the way to Chicago, where are you going? Or, oh, just start. Of course, it's helpful when you wear a collar, because sooner or later they're going to say something. I'm not a religious person, or I don't believe in God, or I'm a Buddhist, or whatever they say. But it will be something referring to the transcendent, because they know. Every human heart knows. And you can make great headway that way by just love. You don't have to say, now, I'm a Christian. I'm going to tell you, you don't change, you're going to hell. You don't know that. What about the Pharisee and the publican? The publican's in the back, right? He's a crook. He's overcharging people on their taxes and keeping the surplus for himself. And everybody knows he's doing it. That's why they hate him. So the Pharisee is thanking the Lord. I'm not like the rest of men. I do all my fasting and my praying, and I'm pretty good. The guy in the back is saying, Lord, be merciful. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When you read that, it's in Luke, when you read it, listen for the heart of Jesus. I don't want to scandalize anybody, but when I read that, I feel our Lord is identified with the guy in the back. Our Lord, I mean, he's humble. He's totally dependent on the Father. He has no sin. Somehow, he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he's so excited about that guy saying that. He says, that one went home justified. So if we're going to lead good religious lives, the greatest occupational hazard is to get proud of it. I'm not like the rest of these folk. You know, they're crooks. They're going to Z rated or whatever they are, X, whatever they are, movies. I don't do that stuff. Well, bully for you. It's only the grace of God. Then pray for those people. Don't brag about it, because it's the guy in the back who finally gets sorry, not the guy in the front bragging about it, who's justified. Justified, that's a great word, right? Well, the monks used to say, well, the guy in the back said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and went home justified. That's the beginning of the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If I say that, I'm justified. In fact, I can get it to be with the rhythm of my breathing, say it 2,000 or 3,000 times a day, even while I'm doing other stuff. It's easier in a monastery because there's not traffic lights and radios and stuff. But, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Okay. See, to pray for those in authority is good and pleasing to God, our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and the human race, Christ Jesus, himself human. He's God, and he's human. So he can stand there between us, you see. The one mediator between God and the human race, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom for all. He paid the price of our sins. Isn't that marvelous? When we gaze on the cross, you see, with one of my profs, I think it was Lyonnais, said, sometimes they say, you want to see the real meaning of sin, look at the cross. No! You want to see the real meaning of sin, look at hell. The cross is the glorious manifestation of the love and forgiveness of God. You want to see the real meaning of sin, look at hell. That's where it goes. Which is great, as Father Lyonnais told us that. Who gave himself as a ransom for all. This was the testimony at the proper time. For I was appointed preacher and apostle. I'm speaking the truth. I'm not lying. I'm not running around and doing this on my own. Jesus Christ himself told me to do this. And in effect, one way or another, we priests can say that too. Whether we heard it in our ear or in our heart, you know, we're told to go preach. Teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. It is my wish then that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. You guys got to get along. How am I going to listen to your prayers if you're fighting with one another? Help me get $1,000,000. Help me take his $1,000,000. I mean, you can't be heard. Or, you know, I can pray for everybody but Joe. Well, then, you just eliminated yourself, even if your name isn't Joe. You see, you can't do that. Jesus could have said, I'm dying for the world, except for the guys crucifying me, of course. But he didn't do that. And so, that's this, lift up holy hands, without anger or argument. Every place the men should pray. Be getting together and praying. There are groups of men who do that a lot, sometimes on a Saturday morning. You know, they're busy all week, but they get to the 9 o'clock Mass on a Saturday over in the parish, and then they stay and pray. They pray together and they share together. This is beautiful. If you like the idea, start it. Get two guys who agree with you. Now you got two or three. Jesus is there. And start. And pretty soon the word will get out and other guys will want to join you. And then you can pray for a while and then go have breakfast. It's done a lot. And it's very beautiful to do. So, that's what he's saying, you see. Parakalo, I exhort. They don't put that in. I ask, they say. It's more than that. Parakalo, that's where you get paraclete from. First of all, to have supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be offered for everyone. I said already this is 1 Timothy 2, 1-6, I think, but if I didn't, that's what it is. For kings and for all in authority, that takes a lot of guts, you know. Suppose you're a Republican and there's a Democratic president or vice versa. Pray for him while he's in office. First, that he save his own soul. With all that power and access to all that money, he's got to watch it. And a lot of them don't. Do they get a chance to repent before they die? I'm sure they do. I hope they take it. But you know, your heart can get so hard that you don't even know the meaning of repentance anymore. You don't even know what it means to tell God you're sorry. So you just lie there waiting to die, not knowing what's going to happen to you. That's frightening. And if you've done this for a lifetime, your heart is so hard that no matter who comes through the hospital door to your room and talks to you, you're not going to get it. See, as the fathers of the church tell us, one of the punishments for sin is sin. You go on sinning, that's a punishment. If you stop sinning and pray, God will change you and get you out of it. But one of the punishments for sin is sin. You just dig a deeper and deeper hole. See? And for kings and all in authority, they're the ones who have the easiest time digging a hole. Why? Because nobody will have the guts to tell them that's wrong. And so, because if I tell them that's wrong, you go to jail. Do I love the guy enough to say, look, you've got to listen to me. You're on the way to hell. You know that? And all we need is a minimal clarity of vision to know that that's what's going to happen. And tell people, warn people, help them. Now, it doesn't mean you walk around with the rosary beads shouting at everybody, repent. You know, I mean, people do that sometimes on the sidewalk. Not going to help anybody. Love, care, and then speak. And so, this reading, you see, is the first part, you see. And then the last two verses of this text, you see, he's talking now, there's one God. There's one mediator between God and the human race. Between men, God and man, anthropon, but the human race is fine. Christ Jesus, himself. Isn't that beautiful? Christ Jesus, you see? Himself, anthropos, himself, man. How do they translate that? Whatever that is. Anyway, himself human, or man, anthropos, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Think about that. He said, Father, I will go to the cross for them. I will make reparation for them. I will open the gates of heaven for them. I love you. I'm offering all my suffering to you in an act of love. And in that act of love, I'm going to die. And that is going to set the human race free again. And I want them to hear me and to love me. Amen.